Okay, Perek Nun. But before we begin Perek Nun, I want to go back to this. We wish we'd do one medrash. One very short medrash, which I missed yesterday. Back in Perek Mem Tes, in Pasuk Tezvav, it says, Hasishkach, Isha Ula Me Rachaim, Ben Bitna. Gam Eila Tishkachna.
What page are you on?
On Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk
Tezvav.
Memtes, keep going. Memtes, Zion. That way. Pasuk where?
Pasuk Tezvav.
You said Memtes.
You'll get there. You'll get there.
Okay. Memtes Pasuk Tezvav Hasishkach Isha. I'm just going back a few seconds from yesterday. Hasishkach Isha Ula Meirachim Ben Bidna Gam Eila Sishkachna Ve'Anochi Lo Eshkachich. So the simple interpretation of the pasuk, as we learned yesterday, is that Hashem says, even if does it ever happen such a thing that a mother forgets about her child? Impossible. You never hear a story where a mother just forgot that she has a baby. She forgot about the Ula, her infant. You never hear of a story where a mother forgot about Ben Bitna, the product of her womb. You don't hear such stories. The same way a mother does not forget about her child, I, Hashem, will never forget about you, my nation, Klal Yisrael. And even if you'll hear it'll be such an absurd thing, it will happen that a mother will forget about her child, I will never forget. Gam Eila Sishkachna. If even such a thing will happen, that a woman, a mother, will forget about her children, V'anochi loy eshkocheich, I will never forget about you. So there's a very beautiful medrash, very simple medrash, is that the word Eila is a code word for the chet ha'egel. Eila Eloheicha Yisrael. And the word Anochi is a code word for the Aseres Hadibros. Nasev nishma Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tisich. Anochi, the first word of the Aseres Hadibros is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So here, Hashem, so Klal Yisrael, we have sinned. So Hashem says, do tshuva. If you do tshuva, I'll forgive you for your sins. So Klal Yisrael says, but the same way you'll forget about the good, you'll forget about the sins, maybe you'll forget about the good times. You'll forget about Kabbalah's HaTorah, that we were willing to accept the Torah, even though all the other nations did not want to accept the Torah, we said Nasav Nishma. So Hashem says, selective forgetting. Eile gam eile sishkachna. I'll forget about the eagle. I'll forget what you did when you said Eile Elohecha Yisrael. But do not worry. V'anochi, this that you accepted, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Nasav Nishma, Lo Yeshkachich. That I will never forget. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very kind to us in that He chooses to be selective in what He is willing to forget. He'll only forget the bad, He will not forget the good. It's a very beautiful medrash. Okay, let's now go to Perek Nun. Perek Nun Kol Hashem. So says Hashem, Eize Sefer Kirisus Imchem. Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, you know, we don't have to serve you anymore. I mean, this is a very, very powerful argument that I think the Christians they say to Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned you. He has allowed the base Hamikdash to be destroyed. He has exiled you. So therefore, it said it's over. It's all over. You finished. It's all over. It's Ki'ilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you a divorce. And when a woman is married to her husband, if she would have an affair, have any relationship with another man, Eishes Ish is Chayiv Misa. A woman has to be loyal to her husband. But once a woman receives a divorce, a get, she's free. She can marry. She can start a new relationship with another husband. So Klal Yisrael, so once there's been Luchum Beis HaMikdash, we have all the mitzvahs, Tayag mitzvahs, you have to call the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But once the Mikdash has been destroyed, we have been exiled, so maybe there will be a half minute to say that we are no longer obligated to observe the Tayag mitzvahs. It's Apikursis. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, you in Galus, Koyim Hashem, Eze Sefer Christus Imchem. Where is the divorce? Show me your divorce, the divorce document of your mother. Who is the children of Klal Yisrael who are in Galus. Don't you dare say in Galus that you are not obligated to observe the Tayag Mitzvahs. You, I never divorced you. I've sent you away. I've punished you. I've exiled you. But I didn't divorce you. You're my people. You're still the Amma Nifchar, and you still have an obligation to observe the Tariq Mitzvahs. Show me the divorce document of your mother, referring to your ancestors. Never happened. Asher Shilachtia, which I sent her away. It's true, I acknowledge, I sent her away in punishment for her sins, but I have not given her enough divorce. O mi mino shai asher macharti eschem lo. Which creditor did I sell you to? In ancient times, it was very common that if you can't pay a debt, these are horrors of what used to take place. The pasuk in Rav Schwab quotes the pasuk in Melachim or in Shmuel. We were in ancient times, the isha hashunamis, or the woman by Eliyahu, the woman who came to Eliyahu. But in ancient times, if a person owed money, if you do not pay your debts, so they would repossess your possessions, and one of your possessions are your children. They would say, "You owe me $1 million. You owe me $1,000. Okay, so you know what? I'll take your children as slaves to me."
Arabs still do that.
They still do that. So Hashem says, so Klal Yisrael can possibly think that we are no longer obligated to observe His mitzvos because we have sinned and we are Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a debt. Kav Yachal, this is total nonsense, but that's what Pasuk over here is telling us. Hashem has a debt; He owes another nation of the world money, or owes them, has some obligation. So, and Hashem has not been able to pay off His debts to Nebuchadnezzar, to Edom. So Hashem says, "No, listen, I can't. I owe you. So take my children. Take Klal Yisrael as collateral. Let them be slaves, and you'll do with them what you want." So Hashem says that's total nonsense. Oh, or mi mino shai. Do I have any creditors? Which one of my creditors is there? Asher macharti eschem lo, to whom I have sold my people. In other words, I didn't divorce you. I didn't sell you off because I have debt. So therefore, just because you have been sent away into exile in the Mikdash Chorav, you have no right to abandon the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hein, your problems are self-inflicted wounds. Hein, ba'avono seichem nimkartem. The only reason why you've been sold, it's not because of me, Hashem says, it's because of you. Because you have sinned, due to your sins, you've been sold into exile. Uve fish eichem, and due to your pesha is a sin that's done b'mezid, and avoin, all of both sins are done b'mezid. One is a pesha. Pesha is it's rebellion. Avoin is just you don't care. A pesha is rebellion. Shulcha imchem, your mother, your ancestors have been exiled, and that's why you suffer today. But it's not due to me. It's you, your sins, and all you have to do is tshuva, and umela, you will come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a very powerful pasuk, because it's a very popular pasuk to bring out these two ideas that don't make this mistake. And this is what the Goyim say to us. The Goyim, especially the Christians, this is one of the big arguments. We've been rejected. And once we've been rejected through the Churban Beis HaMikdash and Golus, it means it's all over. Finished. We're exempt, and someone else now has taken the center stage to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is clearly apikursis. And this pasuk here clearly rejects that principle. I've never given you a divorce. I have never sold you. You have sinned, and due to your sins, that's why you're in exile. All you need to do is do tshuva from your avonos and your peshaim, and you will return back to me. Now, there's a very, very difficult question. This is quoted, this is discussed very, very often. This question I'm about to ask you, that is a stira. There is a contradiction to this pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah. In Yirmiyah Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, it says, Shilachtiha, Yishai says, I have sent away the Jewish people, v'etein es sefer krisuseho eleha, and I have delivered a divorce stack. Krisus means severance, which means a divorce. And I have delivered to the Jewish people her bill of divorce. So we have here a contradiction. In Yirmiyah, it clearly states Hashem has divorced His people, has delivered the divorce document. And here it says, where is the divorce? I never gave you a divorce. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So there are many answers. One of the popular, there's a medrash. I'll read you the medrash in a few moments. It's really a medrash. So you don't have to really go further more than the Medrash, but there's another answer. Maybe that comes from I'm not sure where that answer is, but the popular answer is the difference between the Aseres HaShvatim and the Malchus of Yehuda. To the Aseres HaShvatim, what? Yehuda, Yerushalayim and Binyamin. The Aseres HaShvatim have been divorced. Now, that's not so simple, but according to one opinion in the Gemara, the Aseres HaShvatim have been exiled by Sancheriv in three waves of exile. Ever Hayad Gil Hayam, and what was the third expression? I forgot the third expression. There were three waves of exiles. They will not return. They were sent away, they're gone, and they're lost. Okay, will they return in times of Mashiach? This is debated. Some learned that Yirmiyah went and did retrieve some of them, and they were absorbed back, they were absorbed into the Malchus of Yehuda. There are different opinions. But there is one approach, there's definitely one approach in the Gemara that says that the Aseres HaShvatim had been exiled, never to return. So when it says in Sefer Yirmiyah that I have delivered you a bill of divorce, it's referring to the Aseres HaShvatim, Malchus of Yisrael. Here where it says, I've never divorced you, it refers to the Malchus of Yehuda, the survivors. Which, of course, according to all opinions, did include within it a certain some remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim. When we say Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, it means the majority, but there were definitely Yechidim from each Sheva that was absorbed into the Malchus of Yehuda and the Yemen to preserve those Shvatim for all future generations. So that is one answer. Another answer is, let me actually read you the Medrash very quickly. Because it brings out the flavor. So the Medrash, it's Eicha Rabba, beginning of Eicha Rabba, Perek Aleph. If you want to learn now, if you want to learn the Medrash, the art school put out, and it's an incredible page at the art school Gemara. They started putting out the Medrash Rabba, just like an art school Gemara, with the translation, elucidation, and notes, and insights. And they even have their own layout. The Hebrew is done. They redid the Hebrew from top to bottom. I was looking at it yesterday. It's absolutely a masterpiece. And they had just put out very recently, a few weeks ago, Eicha, a whole volume, a whole thick volume on Eicha Rabba. And here is from the beginning. It's towards the beginning of Eicha Rabba. It's a very long hadama to Eicha in the Medrash. But here it's actually part of the text of the Perek Aleph. I'll read you the Nosach. So the beginning of the marriage is Kate Rimer, how could it say this Pascal Hiv that Kalish Brahu has divorced Klaus Shov Halo Nemar, it says Shilakti of Eti Law and Sefer Kris Susecha Ilecha? So right away the ministry asked the question, there is a contradiction. How could it say here in Yeshayah that Hashem did not issue a bill of divorce when it clearly says in Yirmiyah that Hashem did? Ela Rabbanon Amrinon, here comes the answer. It's a mashal. Mashal, Mother Vedem, the Melech Shakai Sal Matreina. A king got angry at his wife, the Chosav Lo Gita, and he wrote her a divorce. The Omad, and he presented it to her. Now it doesn't mean that he actually gave it to her. He mamish gave it to her. It means he put it on the table. It was all ready to go, and then he snatched it away. He was like about to give it to her, and then he snapped. But he wrote it. He wrote it, and he put it on the table. Or maybe you want to learn this literally, that he actually gave it to her. Okay, I mean, halach, I don't know how that works. But let's not get hooked up on the technicalities of halacha. He gave it to her. And then, v'omad v'chatofoy mimena. He grabbed it. He gave it to her, and he grabbed it back. He took it back. So the woman, so his wife, but he does not get along with his wife. He does not get along with that woman. The queen, they're not in speaking terms. So what does she do? And every so often the king hears that the woman, his wife, she's involved in a new relationship. She's dating someone. So the king gets very jealous. So he says to his wife, "You're dating so-and-so? How dare you? Heichon giteich? This is adultery. How dare you? Where's the get? I never gave you the get. I never gave you, show me the bill of divorce. Where is it? How dare you go and you date another man?" So what about the other days when she, the other times she comes and says, I need to be supported. I need to pay the rent. I need to pay the gas bill. I need to pay for the car. I need some money, my husband, the king. So the king says to her, Aymullah, you want me to support you? I gave you a divorce. What do you want from me? So Haya Aymullah, V'im loy kvar gerashticha, didn't I put the divorce document in your hand? Didn't I give you a divorce? What are you coming to me for money for? That's what I'm good for. So kach, same thing when it comes to Klai Yisrael, that's how we answer the contradiction between the Stupsuk, Basak, and Yimli, Basak, Yishai, kach, kolzman, she Yisrael, levakshim, lavod, avodazara. Whenever Klai Yisrael has the Yetzahar to worship idols, another god, a false god. So Hashem says, Hashem says, how dare you? Did I ever give you a divorce? That's the Pasuk here in Sefer Yeshaya. Eizeh Sefer Krisos Simchem. Where's the divorce? I never gave you the divorce. Then when Klai Yisrael says, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're in trouble, we have problems, save us, help us, we need parnasa, we need all these good things, Hashem says, you and me, all of a sudden you're coming to me for your help. I gave you a divorce, I got rid of you, I sent you away. I have divorced you. So therefore, that's how we answer this contradiction between these two psukim. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teasing us. He is frustrated with us that we have sinned, but he's not releasing us. He's not releasing us. There are no excuses. We have no right to do Avodah Zarah. We have an obligation to serve him, but because of our sins, we have been distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not expected to do for us everything that we want. What? No. Because the Pasuk says, Hein, ba'avon
ha'sechem nimkardim u'v'pishrechem shulcha imchem. My question is different. There are times like my say, well, what about Pasuk? There are other times Hashem said, I'm going to wipe them out. So, what prompts HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it schosavos?
Sometimes, yes.
What is the connection that Hashem...
It's a very general question. Every situation is different. Every time period is different. It's a very general question. You have to look at every single time period and situation, context, and understand it in its context. It's too general. It's too general, yes. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Beis. Madu abasi ve'enish. I used to always say this pasuk, come give a shir, and no one's there. Madu abasi. Parashir, I come. The Einish, open the door, the lights are off. I sit down, open up the Gemara. And there's no one there. You know how many times that happened to me? Madu Abasi, I shouldn't say that, but let it happen. What? Madu Abasi, the Einish, why do I come and there's no the Einish and there's no one here to talk to? What? The Rebbe doesn't. Okay, in a Chanami, that's right, the Einish, exactly. Karasi, the Ein Oine, I call out and no one answers. Hashem says, HaKotzor, Kotzro Yodi, Mipedus, do you think I'm so weak? Are my hands too short? I have short hands. I'm unable to stretch out my hand and redeem you. I can do anything, Hashem says. Do you really think V'im Ein Bi Choyach Lahatzil? Do you think I don't have the strength to save you? Different expressions of my power. Hey, look at my past history. Or, hey, look at Hakam, hey, Biga Arosi Acharev Yom. All I need to do is shout. And when I shout, the sea, the mighty sea, which is the depths, we don't even know the depths of the sea, what's all the way down there. The world has spent trillions of dollars in exploring outer space, and we really don't know what's doing in the bottom of the ocean. It's a big, there are mysteries in the bottom of the ocean that we do not know, but we do know what's doing billions of miles away in outer space. It's a whole different... It's not exciting. It's boring to discover what's down there. It's much more exciting outer space. But in any event, Hashem says, all of the waters in the oceans I can dry up with just a little shout. Hein begarasi achariv yom. With a shout, I can dry up the sea. Asim noharos midbar. If I want, I can make the rivers into desert land. Tivash digosah me'in mayim. And that will happen. All of the fish... Just brings out the point. I'm sure there's very deep meaning here. I don't know what the deep meaning is, but when I dry up the oceans, the seas and the oceans and the rivers, the fish will will rot, will become foul. Tivash digosam me'ein mayim. The fish will become spoiled and die, and the stench will rise up from the fish that die due to the fact me'ein mayim. There's no water. V'samos bat sama, and the fish will die in thirst. Now this is a mashal for the umos ha'olam. The umos ha'olam are compared to the fish and the water. When Hashem wants, He will dry up the water, which means He will dry up their resources. I guess the fish are the nations of the world, which are numerous, like the nations and the evil people who are the citizens of these evil nations that populate the world. And the yam represents their resources, all of their talents and their abilities, which they use, they direct against Klal Yisrael. They trap us and they cause us to sin. Hashem says, when I want, I will dry up the ocean. I will remove, will take away from the nations of the world their power, their resources, their source of the sustenance. And Mimela, the fish will die, they will perish, and my people will go free, I will save you. So Hashem says, do not underestimate my power, there's nothing that I cannot do. Now this pasuk is a famous pasuk. This pasuk is based on a Gemara Masechet Brachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem comes to Shul, I read you the Gemara word for word, B'shosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bol Bebeis HaKnesses, Hashem comes to Shul, if davening is called for 9 o'clock, Hashem comes 9 o'clock, Hashem comes on time. And if there's no one there in Beis HaKnesses, Hashem gets angry. B'shoah she'Kadosh Baruch Hu bo b'Beis HaKnesses v'lo imotza bo asara, and does not find a minion present, miyod hu koyes. This is a very interesting expression. Hashem gets angry. Koyes. Kas. Hashem has kas. What does that mean exactly? It's not clear. And your Shrab writes, your kas means midas hadin. Kadosh Baruch Hu is he sends to this world a dosage of midas hadin in frustration that people are not willing to serve him. Shenemar, madua basi ve'enish, why is it that I have come and there is no one here to serve me? And that is the Gemara, the famous Gemara Masechet Brachos. Rav Schwab has a beautiful interpretation here in this pasuk. We discussed this yesterday in our last section of our shir about Be'ita and Achishem. We discussed yesterday that there are two tkufs of Mashiach. There's Be'ita. Be'ita means that if we do not bring Mashiach before its time, at the end of days, whenever that is, Mashiach will come l'mani, for Hashem's sake. Hashem says, for my sake, Mashiach will come. But if we wish, we can bring Mashiach earlier. And we learned yesterday is that just because we can bring Mashiach earlier, but you can't bring Mashiach, there's a certain, like we said, you can't serve lunch before 11:45. Right? You want it, lunch is called for 1 o'clock. That is Be'ita. If you want to bring Mashiach early, okay, you can bring Mashiach early, but you can't bring Mashiach at 9 o'clock in the morning, because 9 o'clock in the morning is not lunchtime. 1 o'clock is Be'ita. That's the end of days, on our mashal. 11:45 is already, if you really want to eat lunch early, you can eat lunch at 11:45. So in the history of the world, when was the earliest time Mashiach already could have come? Why didn't Mashiach come in the lifetime of David? Why didn't it come B'Shlomo HaMelech? Why didn't it come during the time of the Nevi'im Rishonim, Shmuel, and Shaul, and Eliyahu, and Elisha, and Achiah HaShiloini? Why didn't it come during that period of time? So we said yes, it was too early. It was only 9 o'clock, it was only 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, it wasn't yet the Zman. The earliest time Mashiach could have come was the time of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, already during the time of the Ba'is Rishon, at the time, about 200 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, already that was at Kufa when Mashiach already was Mesukel to come, and that's why there was a very great complaint and criticism against Yechizkiyahu. Why didn't he seize the moment, Achishena, and have an early lunch? That was we learned yesterday. So that was just the first. But throughout history, the opportunity repeated itself so many times, again and again and again, opportunities for Achishena. And that's how we return. It's Madua Basi. Hashem says, I've come to you so many times in history. There were so many opportunities for Mashiach to come. The Einish. But no one sees the moment. Chizkiyahu failed. He didn't take the take the simcha, the nes of the full of Sancheriv further and bring Mashiach. Go to the next generation. There was another opportunity. Let's talk about the Bayesheni, Ezra, Zerubbabel, Daniel. Why didn't Mashiach come then? Koresh said, go back, build the Beis HaMikdash. Mashiach could have come then. Didn't happen. And so on and so forth. In every generation, there are opportunities. Hashem complains, Madua basi ve'ein ish, korasi ve'ein oinea. I call out to you, but no one is there to seize the moment.
How do we know? This may sound a bit nervous, but how do we know what our moments are today?
You feel it. You feel it. You sense it. There's a certain excitement. That's the problem. You're right. That's a very big problem. But even though Hashem gives every generation the leaders that they need, the leaders, there are leaders, and the leaders reflect the people. And okay, I don't know the answers. It's a very tough question. It's a tough question, but the fact is that there are always different kufas and klal yisrael, and there are leaders at that moment in time, and if just things would just click the right way, things can happen. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to Pasuk Gimel. Albish Shemayim Kadosh Nashem. Now this Pasuk concludes this section. That Hashem, at this point, concluding the section, Hashem says that I will give a shout and the yam will dry up, the fish will die, referring to Achris Hayam, when Hashem will bring an end to his enemies. Albish Shemayim Kadrus. Kadrus means darkness. I will dress the heavens with darkness. This refers to the mazalos, the protective angels, the guardian angels of the nations of the world. I will dress them in darkness. The sack osim chisusam, I will put on a sackcloth. I will change their clothing into clothing of sackcloth. They will be in mourning over their destruction, over the drying up of the yam and the death of the fish, which refers to the nations of the world. I will bring an end to them, and that moment in time, I will bring for my people the geula. Pasuk Dav, Hashem Elokim. Now we begin now an entirely new section. This is a fascinating thing, because over here Yeshaya gives us an insight into who he was. We have little snippets. As you know, obviously, by now we're coming almost to the end of Sefer Yeshaya, that the order, the Seder of Yeshaya is extremely difficult. Many Sfarim, which they reorganize Sefer Yeshaya. They take everything that relates to Sancheriv, here all the Pesukim. Everything that relates to Bavel is here. Everything that relates to Gog and Magog is here. You reorder because it's very difficult. When you learn Yeshaya, you have a three Pesukim here, a three Pesukim here. One of the sections of Yeshaya, if you would do such a thing on your own, which is interesting to do, is all of the Pesukim where Yeshaya talks about himself. Who am I? How did I ever get started? How did this? We have that in Perek, the major Perek is, I think, Perek Tes, or is it Perek Vav, Perek Tes, where Yeshaya talks about his first experience with prophecy. Where he was in the Beis HaMikdash, there was an earthquake, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him, he saw the Maase Merkava, and Hashem recruited him for the service. He was recruited. So, and he talks about what it was like, what happened exactly. Hashem spoke to him, who wants to be a shliach, who wants to go forward, I'll go forward for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here again, we come back to those things, where here we have a few psukim where he describes his experience and his recruitment, what happened, how he became a Navi, and what it was like to be a Navi. Very interesting. Hashem Elokim nasan li l'shen limudim. Hashem has given me a tongue of limudim. Limudim is a very unusual word. Limudim means, it means to learn and it means to teach. It depends on the context. It's similar to a Talmud. You know, Talmud means a student, but it also means to learn. It's so limudim is related. We'll see it in a moment. We'll be clearer in a few moments. But here, Hashem has given me a tongue, a talent to teach. Yeshaya says about himself, he's not coming to brag. Obviously, he's just coming to state the facts. Yeshaya was very talented. He was an eloquent speaker. He was an orator. He had a koyach hadibur. Not just in the full sense of the word, the full sense of the expression. He had a power to influence people with his koyach hadibur, everything that encompassed. Lashon, a tongue limudim of teaching. Hashem has given me the gift of speaking, of influencing people with my tongue. Lada'as, to know. Now this is a beautiful expression. Rav Schwab, he goes to town with this. Lada'as, to know. Lo'us es yo'ef. Now, if you want to translate that in the most general term, it means to teach the people who are interested in learning. Okay, I'm giving you the most general translation. Lo'os means to teach. It's a very unusual word to mean to teach. And where do we find such a word with to teach? I'll show you where what it means in a moment. But that's how we're going to translate it for now, to teach. As yo'ef, someone who's tired. A normal person who's tired means you're tired because you have a need for something. You have a need, a person who's thirsty. So he, in a certain sense, when you're thirsty, you're tired for water. If you're weak, you're tired, you're in need of sleep. If you're hungry, you're tired because you need to eat food. So your eif means a person who is interested, he's thirsty to hear, to be stimulated intellectually. He wants to learn something. So Yeshaya says, Hashem has given me wisdom, a talent, a tongue. What's an expression? A tongue, what kind of tongue? A silver, is there an expression?
Silver tongue.
A silver tongue? Yeah. A silver tongue. He's giving me a silver tongue to teach those that, as your eighth, those people that are interested in learning Torah or learning Musar, Davar, your eighth Davar, who are tired for a matter. The matter here means intellectual stimulus. Yo'ir baboiker baboiker, Hashem awakens me every single morning. Every single morning I wake up and I call the Shbaruch, He wakes me up and He puts in my mind ideas, concepts, things, insights, things to teach, to give over to Talmidim. Yo'ir li oizen, Hashem has awakened my ear, l'shmoya, to listen, kalimudim. Now here we have the same exact word of limudim, but in this context it means a good student. There are two words for a student. Talmud is a student, and a limud, limudim, is a student. That's a plural, talmidim and limudim. What is the difference between a talmidim and limudim? A limudim are better students. They are students that are it's a more intense form of the word talmud, a limud. It's a talmud that hangs on you every word, that's thirsty to hear every syllable, not to miss groupies. Right? You have students, and you have groupies. The students, okay, they're good students. They come to the shul, they come a little bit late, they leave a little early. You know, they cut corners, students. The groupies, they follow you around. They're like a leech. they don't let go. That is limudim. It's a more intense form. So here Yeshaya says, Hashem has given me an ear, an open ear, to listen from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kalimudim, like a student that yearns to hear from his Rebbe every single thing. I absorb from HaKadosh Baruch Hu his teachings. Hashem speaks to me. He puts in my mind through the koyach of prophecy a message. And then I go out to my students, to my people, and I convey that message with my silver tongue, with my talents, to those people that are thirsty, who are interested, who are tired, who are interested in hearing what I have to teach and preach. Fine. That is the basic theme of this pasuk. Now, what does it mean, lo'us? Lo'us es yo'ev. So Rav Schwab says, the word lo'us here in this context means to teach. But it comes from the word es, uzman, time. Ace Laledes, Ace Lamus, we know the 28th item in Sefer Koheles, Ace. The koyach of teaching, what is the koyach of a good teacher? You have to know what to say at the right time. Right? There are things that you say in the beginning, there are things you say at the end, there are things you say to a Talmud early in his study, when he gets older. There's a koyach of timing. Everything in life is timing. People have their whole careers are based on happen to be in the right place and the right time. They get their degree, go to a certain company, in the right place, the right time. Your whole life can be different. You could have all the degrees and talents. You come to a company and there's nowhere for you to go, and there are people lined up. You can waste your whole life. working in the wrong place. Because it's all about timing. Just like it's all about timing when it comes to success in your career, in teaching, in getting, in conveying, in getting, bringing out a point to a person, it's all about timing. That's the secret to teaching. And that's why here the word lo'us relates to the word ace. Yo'eif, now this is amazing what Rav Schwab says, it means people who are bored, who are tired, right? Yo'eif means they're weary. Come to a shir, so some people, you just, you know, out cold, they're sleeping. Never happens, right? A teacher that can inspire a person is so interesting that you don't fall asleep. That's amazing. That is a talent.
You say every morning,
you give to those that are weary strength, but the ability to have a content that is so interesting to keep awake people that are bored, that means you have a silver tongue. That means you are the ultimate. That's exactly what it's over here. So Hashem Elokim nosan li l'shoin limudim. Go back to the post. Hashem has given me a tongue, a talented tongue, a tongue that can convey, can give over a teaching. Lodas, I know lo'us, I know how to teach even es yo'ef dover, the people that are bored to death. The people that are tired.
No, you're mixing up two terms, excuse me.
Yes.
Between bored and tired. You
so
can have a great share, the person is not bored.
Yeah.
And you can doze off.
You can have a great share, the person is not
a great
bored.
Share, person is not bored.
But why is he yoif? If he's dozing off, that means he's tired. What?
No.
He didn't sleep the night.
He ate the wrong food.
When you're driving, do you fall asleep?
Yeah, people do. Yeah.
Okay, people fall asleep, but generally speaking, those people that, but generally, we know, yeah, you pay attention. When people go and they see an interesting film, do they fall asleep?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Part of the aging process.
We all know, okay, we all.
Speak for yourself.
We all know the idea. And it's a fascinating insight how he interprets the pasuk. Like this is the original.
All I'm doing is pretending the Rebbe. In other words, the Talmud may not be bored and still go on.
Okay. But this is the idea. This is how he brings out the point. Lo'us es yo'ef. These two concepts. Lo'us ace. Teaching is all about timing. Know what to say at what point in time. Yo'ef davar is people that are weary. Even people that are weary and tired and uninterested, even them, you can wake up, you can arouse. All of a sudden, they're refreshed, they're full of koyach. That is a talent that is extremely rare, and that's why Yeshaya says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him this unique ability. Okay, let's stop here.